Denver City Planning Board meeting, February 27th, 2023.
We have to.
Everyone take your seats, please. The February 27th, 2023 session of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, to the republic of which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the secretary please call the roll?
Commissioner Langraff?
Here.
Tom Halpin?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Jessica Stilley?
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Kriebel and Wendy Bartlett.
Okay, at this time, we have a new member of our board I'd like to introduce and have her sworn in. It's Jessica Stilley.
Yes.
And Jessica, please rise, show us your... Welcome.
And you gotta stay up for a minute.
And you have to stay up now.
Yeah.
Because
you gotta get you
sworn. He has to be sworn.
I just gotta swear you.
Yes. So.
You want the Bible? Hold on.
Yeah.
You want the Bible?
I don't think
okay.
You need that. I'm just gonna ask you to raise your right hand. I'm gonna ask you to repeat after me.
Okay.
I'm gonna say I state your name and then repeat after me. I state your name.
Jessica Stilley.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
I will bear true allegiance.
True faith and allegiance.
True faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established.
And to the governments established.
In the United States.
In the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
That I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly.
And justly.
Perform all the duties of.
And perform all duties of.
The office of planning board member.
The office of the planning board member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
And then optional, so help me God.
And so help me God.
All right, thank you.
You are officially a member of the board. Congratulations.
We'll get you something.
Thank you.
Probably the next meeting, Carmel will have something to sign.
Okay.
Okay, at this time, we'll go to the adoption of the minutes from the February 8th meeting. Are there any amendments or changes to the meeting, to the minutes of the February 8th meeting? Hearing no requests or seeing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption of the February 8th, 2023 minutes?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Second, please. Second,
Lorraine.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Abstain, Mr. Chairman.
And
anyone?
Landgraf has abstained.
Yeah, anyone not here or heard in participate would be an abstention from last month, so just note that.
The ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. We have one resolution this evening to be adopted, and that is P10 2023. That is Giovanni Scipione of 139 North Newport Avenue. Are there any changes or amendments to that resolution? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second. I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Jay, I got to abstain.
You have to, yeah, let the record reflect that Mr. Smith is abstaining. All those in favor again?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. And the resolution is hereby adopted. This evening, First of all, do you have any other announcements or business beforehand?
Nope.
Okay. This evening, we have several applications. The first one will be Ellen Jacobs of 6221 Winchester Avenue. I believe Mr. Abbott is representing.
Ready for it?
Yes.
Chairman?
Excuse me. At this time, I'm going to recuse myself from this application.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Halpin has recused himself and is stepping away from the board for this application.
Good evening, board members. I'm here on behalf of Ellen. She's sitting right here, Ellen Jacobs. Also Mark Jacobs, who was her former husband, also grew up in this house. The application is for either a certificate of nonconformity, or if you see fit, a certificate of land use compliance. To make this as easy as possible for you to follow, if you'll turn to your application, I have an addendum where I set forth the basis of this application and what it's all about, just on one page. And I outline to you what we're requesting, either nonconformity certificate or certificate of land use. I point out to you that the property is a two-unit property. And if you want to read down here, I'm just going to review this quickly, and then I'll have Mark testify because he grew up in the house. You can take a look at some of the municipal records. I think the most important is a 1966 property card from your tax office that states it's a two-unit building. If you go down, also, I have given you the pertinent points of the zoning ordinance, and perhaps your board solicitor or your planner we'll take a look at that, and I'll read it to you. It says that two family dwellings existing at the time this chapter is amended, which was back in 1997. Now, Mark will testify that as a boy, he lived there in 97. It's been a duplex for many, many years. So it's my opinion, but it's your opinion that counts, that that ordinance provision makes us a permitted use. And if you look at our dimensions, we gave the survey, we're 40 by 75 dimension marks. The ordinance specifies we need a total of 2,000 square feet. We've got 3,000 square feet. So with that being said, I'll have Mark sworn in. I might as well have Ellen sworn in as well. As I say, Mark was kind enough to show up. We asked him to help us out.
It's after this.
Ellen is the owner, though. It's part of the property settlement agreement. Mark deeds his interest over in 2015. So if you would, please stand up. We're going to swear both of you. We'll swear you in just in case of questions.
One unit.
Sure. If you could each just state your name and address for the record, I'll swear you in together.
Ellen Jacobs, 6221 Winchester Avenue.
Mark Jacobs, 11 West Mill Road, Northfield, New Jersey.
Okay. And can you each please raise your right hand? Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Ellen, you can sit down. Mark, stay right there. Speaking to the microphone. Mark, you heard my representations to the board.
Correct.
Did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
When did you move into this property?
1972.
And who bought this?
My mother bought it.
And how many years did you live there?
We lived there until she passed away. 2011. She passed away. So it was deeded to me. Then I gave the house to Ellen.
Give
the
divorce. Right. And was it a duplex use
yes,
all this
was.
Time?
Always, yes.
Specifically, was it a duplex in 1997?
Yes.
Was it a duplex when your mom bought it in the early
70s? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two utility lines?
Yes, two utility lines, gas and electric.
Gas
yes.
and electric? Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to add?
Not that I can. If they need any more answers, I'll be willing to answer. I don't know what.
That'll do it then. I don't see anybody.
Other question. So the test year is 97.
Well, that's going to be up to you guys. I believe it's 97. I know talking to Jimmy Agostino, he thought it might be 78. I put it in the addendum. Whatever year you want to use, we meet.
You're covered.
We're covered.
Well,
but I think the really interesting thing is it a certificate of nonconformity or is it a certificate of land use compliance?
Well, wait, there's more to go on this, Scott.
What's
for example. There was a requirement for this property in 1998 to apply if they had a duplex for a certificate of nonconformity. And why is there no certificate of nonconformity when it was required by the city for them to do that?
What I find is that that was optional, Mr. Cook. Many people didn't know. In fact, as I have another case coming in, elderly woman, she said, we applied and when we showed up, they said we missed by 3 weeks.
Yeah,
we had to go for a use variance, etc.
that it's a very non-conforming. I think the vast majority of people in '97 who didn't bother to do it, they could have done it administratively.
Yeah.
They didn't need to spend a dime, they didn't need to hire a lawyer.
Right.
Well, anyhow, people just didn't know.
Yeah, it's, the law says within 1 year of a zoning change, the zoning officer's allowed to issue it within 1 year. So my guess is in '97, several people came and got an administrative certificate of non-conformity. If you missed that, then you're not barred, you just have to come before the board, which you're here now.
Right.
And here we are.
Right. But they didn't exercise that requirement, and so the property existed for all these years without any effort to go through and prove that.
What Leo just said, it wasn't required.
Okay.
What happens is, and I deal with this as Scott does in Atlantic City, when you have a non-conforming use and they change the zoning, you have a year to get it for free.
Right.
If you don't do it then, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't bar you from coming in and asking for, you just have to come in to the zoning board to get that.
This process.
You got to go through this process.
Right.
So they didn't do anything wrong.
Okay.
No.
I thought there was a timeline on that.
There is, a year, but that just makes it, it's by ordinance, you can issue one.
Right.
If you don't do that, then you have to come before this board for us to adjudicate that matter.
Okay.
And in fact, this is a rule.
Sorry, I'm going to be playing.
They even got their rental licenses many years after '97, and the city didn't say, we won't give you your rental license, but you didn't go get a certificate of non-conformity. But again, I think the question here in my mind, the ordinance seems to say it's permitted if it existed in '97, therefore, would it be a certificate of land use that makes it a duplex, a legal duplex? Why would I care? What's the significance? If they tore it down tomorrow, which they have no plan to do, if she had a certificate of land use, I guess she could replace it with a duplex if it was existing in '97. I leave it up to you, we're not looking to tear it down, not selling it. Ellen said to me, Scott, I just want to have it legal, but whatever is required by the city.
I'm just curious. You've enclosed in the packet, I think, one or maybe two COs licenses.
That was it, we didn't.
So it was never really continuously used as a...
It was continuously used.
By family?
Well, my grandmother lived there for a number of years.
But as a separate residence from the owner, well, who, I'm saying, she was the owner.
Right, my mother was the owner.
Okay, but then was she renting out a unit?
Yeah, the lower unit.
Okay, because that's, it's, frankly, it's not like you, not to come in with a Polk directory that's to show us use.
Well, like I say, your property records show us two units from '66. We have our licenses for rental for the same unit.
Yeah.
We have two utilities, we have our tax.
No, and I see all that, I'm just curious why you haven't done more of that history.
Now, the library, get to those Polk directory licenses.
Okay, all right.
It's quite an ordeal. I haven't done that in a long time.
Taking shortcuts, okay.
Well, it's real tough to get.
I understand.
But now you can't get in. Right, you have to do it through their office, and then they will email you whatever they want.
It's very, very difficult.
Right. Now, the question is, do you have proofs, I didn't see it, or I missed it in here, of the property was taxed as a duplex, and they paid taxes as a duplex the entire time?
Yes.
Since, I didn't see that in the packet, can you show that to us?
Well, you have your tax assessment card, you have your property record card, that's how it's taxed.
The card doesn't show that they paid taxes on that, because it just said it, in that date, it appeared that way.
Well, if your property records say it's a duplex in 2 units, doesn't they pay taxes for 2 units?
I don't know if it's paid that way.
On the property change, on the property record card, it says just one unit.
No.
Yes, it does.
I asked him that, he said that's one extra.
One what?
I could get built perhaps to come testify, but he assured me you're 2 units. He said, Scott, you've been 2 units here forever.
I saw you one.
Well...
On the 1966 property record card, it indicates that there's two family dwelling. Type in use.
Say that again, Roger.
In the 1966 record card.
Right.
Top left.
It says two.
Says two family dwelling.
I'm looking at the one, this one, I don't know what date, it says January 25th, 2023, building description, two single family, one garage.
There's some other...
That's what it's been taxed as.
Okay.
Am I reading that right, Leo?
Yeah.
Is that right there?
two single-family, one garage?
Unit and rental properties down and downstairs.
That's sufficient proof of taxes?
I mean, I've got a lot of paperwork.
It's what the city taxes it as, the property record. And it said, I saw something here that said taxes are paid, correct? Okay.
Well, it's every document.
Okay.
Now, the other question is, we have a FEMA, we're under FEMA compliance now. So how do we grant something?
Single-family, one garage.
Not compliant to FEMA.
Oh.
Not improving the property.
Not improving the property.
Mr. Cameron, just tell me which one to get. A lot of documents here.
I just am asking, asking for guidance on this, and I think I got the answer already.
And Scott...
I'll sit here and shut up.
Scott, so you're aware and the board's aware, and I could send it to you. There's a more recent version of the ordinance basically says if you have a duplex or a two-family in the R7, and you have a certificate of nonconformity, then you can demolish it and rebuild it as a conditional use subject to certain setbacks required. So I think you want the CNC. That'll give you the ability...
Either one that works.
Yeah.
Again...
Am I right, Roger?
Yes, yes.
It was in the tear down.
Okay.
But I thought maybe the certificate of land use might be better. If that's what, how the city interprets it, we're cool with that.
Yeah, I'll send you that ordinance.
Yeah, specifically says CNC.
Yeah.
So I just have a question. How's it being used now, the two units?
I live there.
You live there, and who's in the other unit?
Nobody.
Nobody, so it's vacant.
Well, my father over there, my mom passed 14 months ago, and he's been down there.
Okay.
Kind of recovering from losing my mom.
But you can rent it. If you wanted to, you could put someone else in there if you wanted to.
I grew up in Ventnor since 76. I understand what Ventnor's going through with the Airbnb. I have no intention of doing Airbnb. I live there full-time.
I think we should do a CNC.
And if I do choose to rent it, I want it to be legal. I want to come into the Ventnor City, pay my rental fee, and...
Whatever you have to do.
It will be passed on to my children, my grandchildren. It's already in the trust.
Lance, would it be more appropriate to do a CNC on this property?
When was the last time it was rented?
I would defer to Roger and Leo.
I didn't. Sandy came in. My in-laws had a tenant down there. My mother-in-law passed in 2010. My father-in-law passed in 2009. And they had a family member living down there. He had, disability. And he stayed down there. Nominal rent. Sandy came in. We had to gut the whole place, and then ultimately he had to move out. He was upset that he had to move out, but he did.
So, what is the motivation to make it legal now?
If I charge rent, how does that work when it's not legal? Through the city, through the eyes of the city.
She came to me and asked me, what should I do?
I did.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, it's been a long time.
She came to me and asked me what should I do, and I said, really what I think you should do, go in the city, get a certificate of land use or a certificate of non-conforming, and that way you're covered, you have it.
Right.
That's what you should do.
Right.
And when you sell it, that's something that buyers want to see.
She does.
Because if you don't get this, and you go to sell it, it can't be transferred as a two-family.
Right.
Well, I guess that would be correct, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I didn't hear that.
If you continue to use, your grandfather as you're the owner, when you go to transfer it, it reverts to a single family because you do not have the use.
Right. Dan?
If that were to happen.
Right.
Of course, that would severely impact the value of the property.
That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here.
Right. Dan? What is your feeling on the subject of doing this as a CNC versus doing this as a CNC? So that if the property could be removed and be torn down and replaced rather than...
Well, I'm not familiar with those issues, but I know that when I go to the office, it's an allowable use to the current owner.
Right.
But it's a transfer.
Two years ago. So just if I could shed some light on this. So we were getting a lot of these CNCs for duplexes. They were coming in for variances. So city commission changed our ordinances a few years back that if you had a valid certificate of non-compliance, you could then, because we were looking at an aging, some of these old duplexes were in rough shape.
Right.
And what was happening was people coming in and trying to take them down and rebuild, but it was a cumbersome process. So if you have an existing conforming duplex or a certificate of non-conformity was issued by this body, then you can go in and take that down and rebuild a new one. That was the purpose of us putting that into our ordinance.
Right.
To get new product, to get some of these homes elevated. As you said, the home was probably damaged by Sandy. So she doesn't want to elevate it. She doesn't want to demo it, but someone down the road may. So in my opinion, I think this should be a certificate of non-compliance.
Right.
Gives them the opportunity to do that down the road. And
I happen to agree with you.
That's why we passed that ordinance.
An easier way.
An easier way.
Yeah, right. And that's what they want.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's the way to go.
I always think it's the best way for the city in the long run. So.
Whatever it is, it's the right way to handle it. And it's secure.
Well, it would be consistent with all the past ones.
Right.
It would be consistent with the ordinance.
Right.
And it would be consistent with what they want to pursue, possibly in the future.
It's actually a pretty big lot.
So. Yes. So why don't we proceed? If the board is amenable, we would proceed on that method, on that venue, if the board is amenable.
Great.
In that case. Are you complete with your testimony?
I am.
Does the board have any questions of the applicant?
Is it in fact two fully functioning separate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, completely. Right.
Completely separate.
Non-connected units.
There's some photos. You'll see the separate gas meters.
I didn't see any photos.
Several electric meters.
I saw the picture right
two
now.
Meters.
Two
electric,
yes,
two gas.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, it sounds as though it's really only been used for family.
Well,
pretty much.
Not
only
the
last
separate,
30 years.
It has a separate entrance. As a separate yard.
And they paid sometimes.
A full bathroom, kitchen, living room, bedroom down there.
Okay.
And it's separate.
Right.
I can enter the apartment through the kitchen. I go down 7 stairs and then I can get in there.
All right. I'm gonna open up to the public at this time. See if there's any comment on this application. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Seeing no requests and hearing no requests, the public portion is now closed. Mr. Abbott, do you have any further comments?
No, Mr. Chairman, we're good.
You are complete. Roger, did you do a report on this?
I did not.
Okay, Roger, do you have any comments on this application? Do you want to just swear you in?
Let's get Roger sworn.
Roger in, please.
Mr. McCarney, do you swear from the testimony you're give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
You believe that the 1966 and 1972 property record cards established that this was a duplex prior to 1997, and the fact that there are two gas meters and two electric meters, to me, how many times have we run into one meter? And there were still proofs, but I think this is clearly, and look at the property record cards, look at the itemized items on there. It's been a two-family unit since at least 1966, as far as I can tell.
Okay. All right. At this time, if there's no further comments, we could have could you form a motion in the affirmative?
Sure. And we open to the public, right?
We did.
Okay, so we just need a motion and a second to grant the certificate of nonconformity to allow the continuation of the two-family dwelling on this property.
I have a motion and a second, please.
I'll second.
Have a roll call vote. State your reasons.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I vote in favor. I think the proofs were made. The site's been used as a two-family unit since 1966 today.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of it. Again, the test year that was made was there. There was sufficient evidence that was given, and with the property record cards, which are all city records, and so on down the line. So I believe it is, in fact, true.
Roman Zabihutch?
I also vote yes.
it's been a two-family. We questioned it, so we're happy with the information.
Lorraine Salata?
I'll vote in favor of it. Based on the documents from the city, it supports the fact that it was two-family.
Dan Smith III?
I also vote in favor of the application. I think it's clear that it existed prior to the zoning change, and as back as far as the records go, it's 66. That's about it, because of the 62 storm they lost in the records.
Mike Wiesen?
I'll also vote in favor. Just comments from everybody else on the board.
Peter Taco.
I'll vote in favor of the application. The applicant has put forth the proof that it has been a duplex since the 70s, since the test date at least.
You're complete. Ms. Jacobs?
Yes.
Scott, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in.
You made my children happy.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Yes. The next application is that of Kevin Bush.
Yeah, we have to recuse ourselves.
Okay.
All right. Gotcha.
Right. Other names on the list. Sorry, guys.
Michael?
Sorry.
Could you, on the record, recuse yourself, please?
Yes.
Agree or recuse yourself on the record?
We withdraw from this application.
I think that's you, right?
Okay, good.
200-foot list.
200-foot radius.
Whoever needs.
Last one or not?
My neighbor.
Right. Is everybody weak?
Okay. And let the record reflect.
We're on the Roberts.
I bet you are.
Your gas.
Close.
Get
her
closed.
All right. Let the record reflect that Greer Gaskell and Michael Wiesen have withdrawn from the board and are recusing themselves on this application due to being within a 200-foot radius. At this time, Mr. Goldstein, you're representing?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Do you want to do a preamble?
Not on this one.
There'll be no preamble. You'll go right through.
Okay, thank you.
Swear in to whoever needs sworn in at a time.
Prior to that?
Yes.
Congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
Acting until March 6th.
And I'm sure for a long term after that. Congrats. And I'm glad to see Carmela's here, so we're all back in business tonight. Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicant, Kevin Bish. With me to my right is the property owner, along with Todd Miller from QMA Architects, who has prepared the plan. So we probably should have both of them sworn in, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
And then we'll go through the testimony, and I'll go through Roger's report. So gentlemen,
okay.
Come on up.
Yeah, just Mr. Bish and Mr. Miller, just state your name and address for the record, or business address for the record, and I'll get you both sworn in together.
Kevin Bish, business address is 1010 Plymouth Road, Plymouth Meeting. My home here is 405 North Derby.
Thanks. I meant for Mr. Miller's business address, but you're okay.
Todd Miller, 15 South Dorset, Ventnor City.
Okay. Can each please raise your right hand? Each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I assume Mr. Miller's credentials are
yes,
accepted.
Let the record reflect that Todd Miller's credentials as an architect are before the board. Are you a planner also, or just an architect?
No.
Okay. They're acceptable, and he's appeared before this board many
Thank
times.
You, Mr. Chairman. So what we have here is an existing property that the applicant has determined not to tear down, but rather to revise by making it a little bit more suitable for 2023 and beyond. And that really entails the addition of a room over the existing garage. And I'm going to walk through Roger's report because I think it's pretty important to note that the property itself has a couple existing nonconformities which are being intensified by the work as proposed. But the property itself really is unique because it's so far under the other allowable coverages and so far over with regard to certain things, not the least of which is landscaping. So Roger's report does point out that we have the width of the lot bigger than necessary, the overall square footage bigger than necessary, building coverage is way under, lot coverage is under, principal building height, especially with what's being built now, stays under. You know, everyone, myself included, we come here to max out these houses. This is not the case at all. A lot of landscaping, front yard is over by a significant amount, and the total is over by a significant amount. So with that background, Mr. Miller designed a very subtle addition to the garage, raising up an area which is already existing nonconformity, which is at 3.2 feet from the left side property line, as well as 3.6 from the rear. Other than that, the property now meets or exceeds all of Ventnor's requirements. So I'm going to have Todd come up and testify as to what he designed, and then we'll walk through justifications from the variances. But of note, none of the existing nonconformities is being increased by way of a footprint expansion. So we're staying within the footprint. We're very careful not to go outside of the existing footprint. It's just going up a bit, that's all. And I don't want to say that it doesn't impact the neighbors. It has a very subtle and minor deviation from your plan, but it is. So walk us through your design, specifically noting the garage area, because that's where we're going to be.
Sure. Kevin came to us and asked if we could help him plan a master suite.
Todd, could you hold up a little closer?
Yes, I'm sorry. The mask is hard. Kevin asked us to do an addition to his house for a master bedroom suite. The house is about a 2,400 square foot, 48-year-old, sort of a center hall type of house. First floor, entry and stay up to the second floor, and great room on one side and kitchen dining room on the other side, and then four small bedrooms and two baths upstairs. And we wanted to add a master suite to this house. The house sits on, as Eric has mentioned, an oversized lot. And it has, it has more lot area than necessary. And in terms of the side yards, setbacks has much larger side yard setbacks. Unfortunately, the original design puts the house right in the center of this lot, creating a situation where no matter where we go on the outside of the house for this addition, we can't make it fit in, whether we go on the right side or on the left side. We didn't want to go up, which we were permitted to do. So we are looking at doing this master suite addition over the existing attached garage.
Just to clarify, when you say we didn't want to go up, we're going up over the garage, but nowhere else.
Oh, sorry, yes, we're going up over the garage. We're not doing a third floor. I wasn't clear.
Todd, for the record, you're doing a second floor on the garage?
A second floor on the garage. In addition, so the house is obviously a pre-Sandy house, so the first floor is non-conforming in terms of family requirements. Even though it was built in 1975, at the time must have been pretty high, because it's built at a height that we were designing new homes up until Hurricane Sandy. But needless to say,
in that regard, just to be clear, the applicant is aware of the substantial improvement rule by FEMA, and we're not going to exceed what FEMA or the Ventnor City Code would allow.
Absolutely, but
what is that amount you're not going to exceed?
50% of the improved value of the structure.
Okay.
Yes.
Property. Thank you.
Yes. But that sort of precludes us from doing any type of expansion of the first floor. So now if we're looking at expansion of the second floor, then we're looking at sort of building an extension out and sitting it on posts or something of other nature, which we felt would be very unattractive. And that's why we were looking at building out over the existing masonry garage. And we've accomplished that by using one of the bedrooms as an access point. So we're not even adding an additional bedroom. But in the end, we have what I think is a very attractive addition to the house. It looks like it's always there. And we're a house that's really sitting in the middle of a very large property.
So with regard to the variances we need, we're talking about left side yard and rear. In your professional opinion as a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey, do you see any negative that can be associated with those two variances if the board saw fit to grant?
I think it balances out because of the variances are limited to us just a minor portion of the house and a portion of the yard, and that it is counterbalanced by the much larger side and rear yard variance, rear yard setbacks are adjacent to it.
Would that be a no?
That there's no negative, yes.
And with regard to the positive criteria, the C variances, would you say that the benefits of this greatly outweigh any negatives, if any such negatives could be associated with the project?
Yes, absolutely. I think if you look at the site as the whole, you could the house could be much taller and cast a longer shadow. It could cover more of the site and have less landscaping. It could be closer to the properties on all sides. It could have more coverage, more building coverage, more lot coverage. I think when you look at the whole, everything balances out very nicely.
Would it be fair to say that the division building this project, asking you to design this, tried to get you to design the minimum amount of expansion for the primary bedroom and then nothing else, so that what he's asking for is additional space, of course, but not in a way that affects the overall property?
Absolutely. It's a fairly minor addition, especially in terms of what is possible for this particular house. Because of the large nature of the site, a house of 4,000 maybe even 5,000 square feet could be built on this property with much smaller setbacks. So yes, indeed.
Chairman, I'm going to rest as regarding our architectural testimony.
Before you do,
sure.
You stated that things are exceed or more than. Do you have the square footage of the lot? And
sure.
And could you give us those numbers for the record, please?
The square footage of the lot is 6,000 square feet, where 4,800 is required. So we're 1,200 over
okay.
on the lot size itself. As I said before, the lot width is 75 feet wide, where 60 is required. So we're over there. Depth is 80, where 80 is required. With regard to the setbacks to the structure, principal setbacks pretty much right on point. 20 feet are required. We're at 19.5, so just a little bit further. And then you've got side yard to the left, 8 feet are required, we're at 3.2. Side yard to the right, 8 feet are required, we're at 18.8, so 10 feet over there. Rear yard to the building, 15 required, 3.6, because we're connecting the garage now to the principal structure, that counts. The decks, 6 feet are required, we're at 12.8. The building for coverage, 40% is allowed, we're at 32.3, so we're way under there. Lot coverage, 65 is allowed, we're going to 60, which is under, but not markedly under. This is the big one. Principal building height, you can go up to 35 feet, we're 25.4, so 10 feet under how high up we could be. Parking's a big one too, we're only required to have 2 spaces. Mr. Bish already has 3. We're not adding, we're taking that away. And then of course, landscaping, we have to be at 25%, we're at 44. Front yard has to be at 5%, we are at 11. So overall, the structure itself, as Todd said, it's situated in a way that no matter what Mr. Bish does to bring this into the 21st century, it's going to be variances. So we tried to keep them at the smallest possible amount, but we need to. So we're here to justify them, and I think the testimony does justify them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. So I'm looking at your plans here, and you're keeping it at 4 bedrooms. You're taking what was, you called it the second bedroom, and made that into sitting room, office, and then the addition with the master bedroom is the 4th bedroom?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That doesn't affect the parking counters.
Right.
More parking than necessary.
And you will be submitting a landscape plan to Roger.
Yes.
Of course. Okay. But this was landscaping. We're not asking for a waiver. We want to put a floor.
We're happy about the trees.
So, real quick question. I don't want to get into my report. You basically went over that, but did write a report on this. You are expanding the footprint a little bit by bumping the garage further out, closer to the street, correct?
Yes, there is. There's a small addition, expansion of the garage. I'm sorry, a small expansion of the garage in this direction towards the street.
It's like 4 feet or so, or more than that.
Square feet.
I can't see dimensions on it, but it's 194 square foot.
Yeah, that is about 10 feet.
Yeah.
All right, variance. So that in itself would generate a variance, but then you're going up at the same setback for the side of the rear. That exasperates the setback. Because the only comment, in addition to what I've already said, what Eric's already said, is there's a lot of runoff going towards the rear of the property. How can we ensure that the runoff gets back to the front?
With the addition of the porch in the back, the whole site will be regraded, and all of that will be directed to the front.
Okay.
We'll submit a grading plan, too, if you want.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah. We'll always do grading plans anyway, so we'll get that as part of our documents.
Is there a variance being applied for the expansion of the front of the garage?
That's part of it.
Is that already elicited?
Not if it happened. We're going from 56.1 on existing coverage, where 65 is allowed, to 60. So that's the area coming forward that increases the coverage, but it's still under the allowable. So it's not a variance, even though it is a change.
Right, but the side yard?
The side yard stays the same.
Okay, all right.
But yes, they are, that's creating another variance, but it's part of the side yard setback.
It's part of the side yard. I realize that. I just didn't know if that had to be identified as a separate variance.
No.
Okay. All right, thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, I have no other testimony. Mr. Vicious, you may answer questions if you'd like. And certainly we'll answer board questions, but we're good if the board's good.
Have you read Roger's review on this property?
Yeah, it's good. Well, we concur with that.
Agreement with it?
Absolutely.
Are you in agreement?
We are.
And how about street trees? Are there street trees there?
Street trees, right?
There's one tree on the side of the property, on the right side right now.
I think there should be two trees per lot.
You think it's a tree tree?
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
And is there a governor strip in front of the lot?
Do you have grass? It
looks like that's all concrete.
There is no governor strip there now.
The house next door has one.
Well, we have been requiring governor strips to go in on these lots.
The original sidewalk.
No. Between the sidewalk and your property. What's there? Just the sidewalk. Okay.
It looks like a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. It's held by this.
You have your house.
It is correct, right? We're requiring governor strips.
We have been.
Yes.
Do they have any for governor strips?
Yes.
Sidewalk in good condition.
What? During construction, if there's any damage to the sidewalk, that's been repaired, right?
This is the area.
Is that in your report?
See, there's nothing here. Right. Well, yeah, they won't get a CO. Yeah.
Should it be required?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always required.
Mr. Chairman, we're just looking at some photos now. It looks like the property, and there's definitely not a governor strip, but the sidewalk is such that it comes all the way out from, and I don't know if Todd, if that's easy to show that picture. We may ask for a waiver on that. We're just checking on something.
Well.
We typically ask for that if they're over the lot coverage, though, don't we? They're not over the lot coverage here.
Usually, like major renovations, substantial improvements.
Anytime we get a variance, right?
They would have to cut it, and that's...
Yeah.
Well, they could always put extra trees on the property.
I'd rather see it on the property, because then
right,
it's...
But you can put the trees on the other side.
Sure, and we can do that, of course. It's just, as Mr. Bish said, that sidewalk is
right.
Big and it's newish,
right.
And
fact,
it looks, right. it's kind of grand, so if we want to put a condition on to put another tree on the other
right.
side or a couple, that's no problem.
Right, but you can
I'd
do
rather
that.
Rather on the property.
And they
you don't
have
to worry about maintenance.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, you have a big enough front yard.
We do.
For the trees
yeah.
to go in. Actually, the trees don't look better there.
And they kind of die in the governor's strip occasionally,
right.
not always, but...
So if you'll put, could you locate two trees?
Yes.
On the front yard area instead of the governor's strip?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if that would be so kind of you to do that, we'd appreciate it. Your house will look much better, too. Okay.
All right.
Members of the board, do you have any questions or things of the applicant that you wish to ask? At this time, then, are you complete?
We are complete. We appreciate the comments, and that's a condition of approval. We're okay with that, putting the extra trees in, and we will rest unless you have any further questions after the public.
I'd like to open the public if there's any comment. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing no requests, seeing no requests, the public portion is now closed.
I have one final comment. The survey is older than 2 years. Can we have confirmation that the survey is accurate as what exists?
Yes. So, Kevin's here. Was any work done in the past 2 years that would change what's on the present survey based on what we've already submitted?
No work has been done.
So it'd be fair to say that the survey is accurate today as it was when we submitted it, even though the survey that we submitted was too old?
Yes.
Okay.
Fairly 2 years.
I would concur with that.
Okay. That's acceptable?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Is it acceptable to our engineer planner?
Mr. McLaren and Sturrow as ever, so we're good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's time. If you have any further thing to say this time, you're complete?
Yeah.
And that is fine. Members of the board, are you complete with your questions? At this time, Leo, could you couch a motion, please? Present it to the board.
Sure. It's a C variance application. There's two C variances, a side yard setback on the, I guess, left side when you're facing the property. 3.2 feet proposed, 8 required. A rear yard setback of 3.6 feet or 8 feet required. There is a waiver, as we just discussed. The survey's older than 2 years. And then I'll just note conditions, anything in Mr. McLaren's report, any representations made by the applicant. They'll submit a grading plan. They'll submit a landscaping plan with 2 street trees, but on the property, no governor strips required.
Yes. May I have a motion and a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
And we'll have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Commissioner Landgraf.
Todd, you said something when you were describing the property, and when you renovate a house like this, it looks like it was always there, and you've designed it just that way. I think this is an excellent place to do an addition on the property. I think it's very minimal impact on the neighbors. You already have a structure there. Really well done. Good luck with it. I vote yes.
Thank you.
Tom Halpin.
I agree with that. It really looks like, you know, it fit right in there. It's definitely going to be an enhancement. I love the back porch, the back covered porch. I enjoy your family meals back there. I vote yes.
Thank you.
Jay Cook.
If you look at the before and after photos of this particular property, with a rendering of what the future is, this is a great improvement to the property. And speaking to the variances themselves, the variances aren't being increased. They're just being vertically moving up and so on. So the impact to the city, I think, is quite low, and to the neighborhood is quite low. And it is a well-designed proportional piece that I think looks good in the property. And I think it also goes into the intent of our master plan, in that we're keeping our properties well-maintained and updated as well. You are then helping us with landscaping, being cooperative in those areas to enhance your property and enhance our community. So I give that a lot of points extra as well. The coverages, and the lot size all exceed what's required. So therefore, you are compliant in most of those areas or over exceed. So with that, you are a candidate for a good application of a variance and granting. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I also vote in favor. The two variances are existing, so nothing, no change is being made to increase or add variances. As others have said, it's really going to be a nice aesthetic improvement. And I'd like to again commend Todd for a great presentation. This makes it a pleasure as a planning board member to read these plans.
Thank you, Roman.
Lorraine Salata.
I'll agree with Roman on that. It's a really nice improvement. It keeps the integrity of the building. There's really no negative impact on the neighborhood, on the neighbors are directly next to him. So I'll vote in favor of it.
Thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I also concur with the comments. I think it's a great design. location, no impact to the neighborhood, it's all non-conforming, but you've designed it in a way that it can impact.
Thanks.
Peter Taco.
I was initially concerned about the impact of the structure so close to the property line, whether or not there would be opposition from the neighbors. Seeing that there is none, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't vote this in the affirmative. It's a beautiful design. It's really just a continuation of existing nonconformity, and we'll make a really nice addition to the house. A beautiful house already. Very nicely done.
You are complete, Mr. Bish.
Thank you all.
Congratulations.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks.
I have one comment, Mr. Chairman. Todd, usually you put Easter eggs in your renderings. I didn't see one today.
Can I have the drawing?
Yeah.
I'll tell them that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
For a good application. Right. And we'll proceed to the next application. And that is 6900 Ventnor Avenue. Mr. Talbecchia?
I believe this one is a D-type variance. This is a conditional use variance, so I'm going to recuse myself from that.
Let the record reflect that Mayor
Lance, you don't want to stay?
Nelson, on the conditional variance, severing himself from the board.
Going home to rest, Nick.
And then, Nick, this is technically a continuation, right?
Yes.
Does that...
I didn't hear that one anyway, so...
Yeah, there's...
feel better.
Yeah, let's see.
Members here.
You had the members last time.
Who?
All right.
Do we know?
I'll be last. All right. Board members.
That's why he's wearing that.
On this application, who were the members that were sitting here on this application last meeting? Tom, you weren't.
Who was?
You can't vote on it.
Yeah.
They were here?
Yes, they were here. Dan, who else?
Tom's okay, actually. I checked that.
Tom can.
Yeah, as the class two, he's okay.
Right. Now, could we have new members hear this on the continuation?
Who wasn't here when it started, other than Jessica, obviously? You guys were here?
Yeah.
Mike?
Roman was here.
Roman?
Yeah.
Coop?
You were here, right?
Not the last meeting when...
The January meeting.
It was the January.
January's meeting on this application.
When?
It's January, the meeting in January.
Did you see this one before?
All right.
What was the date on it?
Maybe we can bring up some minutes.
Look at the minutes, it'll tell you January.
It'll be on the minutes.
Yeah.
You have a copy of the minutes?
Not with me.
Okay.
I might see if I can find them.
We have the minutes.
January 23rd, Carmella?
Yes.
I was here. I came back. Yeah, I'm good.
We need the minutes, that is 20.
And how many do we have to have voting on this?
Mike, you were here.
Seven or nine?
In case you weren't sure.
You have them.
Well, that may tell everybody else.
Can I be...
Oh, you do have the minutes, Lorraine? Great.
Yes.
Who was present?
Okay, it was Jay, Roman, myself, Dan Smith, Mike Weaven, Pete Taco, Tim Coop, Greer, and Wendy.
All right.
That was present.
Okay. Wendy left, though, for my application.
Wendy left.
Doesn't have it on here.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a client, so she had a...
Does that give you seven? So can those people raise their hand?
Read their names and raise your hand and keep it up.
All right.
Six.
Six.
So we have seven.
Raise your hand.
Then,
Dan is seven.
Dan is seven.
Either good news or bad news. Tom and Jessica, I gotta kick you off the... Mm-hmm. The you have to either... I guess you can go home if you prefer, or you sit out there. Because this is a they started this application, so now since it's a continuation.
Sit on the other side.
Either sit in the audience or, you don't, unless, if you want to learn, you can sit in the audience, but.
Sit over there.
Okay, you don't have to.
Right.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Or I can sit here.
She can sit here.
I don't
here.
Want to physically move, or do you want me to sit on the other?
Do you have an objection? She sits here. You just can't ask questions or anything like that. So,
okay.
All right. You can stay there. You too, Tom. Just can't ask questions.
All right.
Right on, back to the kill.
All right, are we, got the re-swear?
It'll only take a second.
Yeah, let's re-swear.
Sorry.
All right, Mr. Bechtold and Mr. Barnhart and Principal, the applicant, if you each just real quick state your name and address.
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Robert Kravitz, 6900 Ventnor Ave, Ventnor, New Jersey.
Andrew Bechtold, 599 Shore Road, Summers Point, New Jersey.
Okay, and each please raise your right hand. Each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Andrew, you were here last time, right? Okay, so they're all...
I was there last night. I've been here before, but I was...
Right. Now, John, are you a professional? Are you a professional?
Licensed architect.
You're the architect of record. Now, which firm are you with?
Thomas Bechtold.
Thomas Bechtold, okay.
Yes, sir.
You're a New Jersey licensed architect?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I've been before this board a couple of times.
Okay. Well, with the record reflect that your credentials are acceptable, and John, your credentials are always acceptable.
Thank you.
Because you've been here so many times, and that's the case.
Ready, Mr. Chairman?
Please proceed.
All right. Good evening, everyone. For the record, Rick Tarvak on behalf of the applicant. We're here at continuation from last month. The board was requesting some additional detail and to see what variances we could reduce. So we did submit revised plans. We know we had the Roger submitted a revised report, and we did our best to reduce the variances. So we eliminated the rear variance. We pulled back the deck, and we said we were going to do that last time. We actually were able to pull the garage door back and add a third full parking space in the driveway. So now there's three spaces per unit, legal spaces. We have a variance on Ventnor Avenue that is in part caused by the desire to create that entry rather than a flat wall. And we are well under coverage for both properties. Both lots are oversized. We do need some relief, which John will go through. And then I brought Andrew to walk you through the architecturals because there's some questions about that. But I think overall, with your comments of the board, we've made it better. Again, we do need some relief. As Mr. McLaren mentions in his report, we have a corner lot, which is not really contemplated in this provision that allows for the attached singles. So if we had two sides, we would have 8-foot setbacks, but because Ventnor Avenue is not a side, it's a front, it's actually a 12-foot setback, so we lose 4 feet. But when you look at coverage, which is one of the key determinants of impact, we're under on both lots, and of course we comply with height. And I think overall, there's good reason for this. Across the street from us, as you know, is commercial. There are no setbacks on Newark or Ventnor. And I think we're going to be consistent with the neighborhood, and certainly, I think, with the intent of the ordinance to allow these uses, because the use is permitted. We need a conditional use, a couple of conditional use, or few conditional use variances. But the standard for conditional use variance is very different than a use variance. We do not need a use variance. The use is permitted. What we need is a conditional use standard, which is, can the property accommodate what we're proposing, notwithstanding the variances? That's the test, and we think it can, because we're under coverage, we're not trying to overload the lot. We've added extra parking, right? Because we know that parking is always an issue down here at the shore.
All right, Nick,
beach. Yes.
Rather than say we're over the coverage, can you tell us what the coverages are?
No, we're under the coverage.
Well, you're under coverage.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, John will go through that, okay. Mr. Chairman. No, we're under the coverage.
Okay, yeah. You're going to listen to all those numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, plus our plan. So, John, you've been sworn qualified. You were here last month. Can you walk the board through what we're now proposing?
So the product is the same with regard to the actual use of the building. It's a two-unit building attached single-family home on there yet, with a subdivision that bisects the building along the party wall. I'm just going to get to the specifics of what we changed since last month, because I think that's really what's important here. We heard everything that was said last month, and we went back to the drawing board to eliminate as many variances without creating a detriment to the success or viability of the project. And what we were able to do is we eliminated a total of 5 variances that were being requested before that are now no longer being requested. I'll just walk through them briefly. And they're the same, some of them are the same for each building, which obviously there's 2 variances. By way of example, if you recall, the rear yard setback that was proposed in the initial application, we have variance for 2 feet. We have now moved that rear yard setback to at a minimum of 12 feet for both of the units, so that two variances that we eliminated. The front yard setback that we made, yes, if you recall, we had proposed them at 5 feet. They are allowed to project into the front yard up to a point that they are sitting 7 feet from the property line. Those decks have been cut back to the 7 foot mark and eliminated those two variances. The other variance we eliminated is we split the entire building over. While we already have some setback variances for Ventnor Avenue, as a result of the second front yard, which I put on testimony at length last time, we felt it was important to create a conforming setback for the entirety of the building but for the one projection area. If you recall, we had 7 feet of side water on the right side, and we are now proposing 8 feet in greater separation from our neighbor, who would really be the most impacted lot from this property. So we have created a much more conforming condition for both of our neighboring properties. We have created a condition which we think is very much appropriate along Ventnor Avenue and also along Newark Avenue with the way that those areas are developed. And so what we are down to with regard to variances is the building and the deck along Ventnor Avenue are a front yard setback variance. I'm not going to go a great length, but I testified last time when we had that second front yard, many things were to have a second front option, which actually was going to require a front yard setback. And some of the variances that are being requested in that front yard are really a result of creating architectural appeal on Ventnor Avenue and having it look like the front of the building as opposed to the side of the building along Ventnor. So those variances are still necessary. We noticed, I'll say, minor variance for a portion of the building along Newark Avenue where 12 feet is required, and we are at 10.570. Again, it creates greater architectural appeal to the front of the building, which is consistent with the character and the setbacks of all Newark Avenue, so the request is still very much appropriate. And then, with regards to the side yard setback, as I mentioned, we have this entirety of the building length now is wide, except for the one projection that is at 6 feet. So it's about approximately 25% of the building length that has that projection that is at 6 feet. If it were a upper level projection, I think it would actually be prepared, but it's a full three-story projection to stair element. So that small area is still variance. We are proposing to fully comply with regard to building height. An extreme mitigating factor with this project for why we think that these setback variances are appropriate in this location is that we are 10% below building coverage. That's not something that you see very often. We're normally maxing out building coverage. Building coverage in this location is permitted at 60%, and we're only about 50% and less for these buildings.
John, can you give the exact coverage because they're not exactly the same for each lot?
So they're essentially 44% and 49%.
Okay, so one lot is 44% building.
Yeah, the lot areas are slightly different from one.
Yeah.
But again, the relevance of that is that they're 10% and greater below what is actually allowed, which proves that although we ask for setback variances, we are not creating too much mass or building on the property. Because typically speaking, you know, most of the people can only own you doing things, but even through form, they go to that 50% max. So that's a tremendous give back with regard to space and just volume of building on the property. And then with regard to lot coverage, similar conditions. We are roughly 10% below what would be permitted. You're permitted about 75% at this location. And we are at approximately 64 and just under 40%.
And John, the lots are oversized?
Sorry?
The lots are oversized?
The lots comply with regard to lot area in both.
Isn't one over, I believe?
Yeah, they're both slightly over.
Okay, they're both slightly over lot area. And then you mentioned, talk about the parking for a second. We made a change there.
Yes, yeah, so we testified to this. The prior plan showed that the front drive is 17 feet from the property line.
What's required? 47?
The architecture plan has
34, 32, 32.
And the property line is the garage door, so that you have three legal size spaces, two in the garage and one outside.
And John, what number of parking spaces are required per unit?
So again, one of the other comments last time is that there was a room downstairs that was labeled a bedroom, but it only had a half bath next to it, and it didn't have a closet in it. It really wasn't a bedroom. It was a study or architect space. That has been amended on the architectural plan that I believe is completed now. So it's required to have two spaces per unit, but the proposal is.
And you think that's a benefit?
I think that's absolutely a benefit, especially when you're adding additional space outside. You know, to the extent that someone wants to use the garage to be stored and not parking, the exterior space will always be a parking space.
So just so we have a complete record, I'm going to bring Andrew up to walk through the architecturals, but in terms of the variance relief for conditional use standards, can this lot still accommodate this use, notwithstanding the deviations we're proposing?
Yes, because I think it's been developed, or supposed to be developed in a very consistent pattern with the neighborhood. Each one of the setbacks, you know, as we went back to the drawing board and looked at the impacts of the neighboring properties, at least all the modifications have brought that, although I thought it was very consistent before, I think that by eliminating those five deviations, basically,
so, do you see any substantial detriment to the zone plan or public good if the board were to approve this application?
I do not. It's a permitted use of the zone. We are very, very close in all regards with regard to the setbacks. We are well under the lot building coverage, and it's, you know, but for the small setback variances that are necessary. This would not even require any variance because it is a condition permitted.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Barnhart? If not, I'll bring up Andrew to walk you through the architecture.
Well, let's see. The way your plan shows, do you have no governor strip in this particular plan?
No, under coverage. We're less than what's permitted. Oh, the governor strip. I thought you said coverage. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I see it on another plan. I'm looking at two different plans here. Okay.
All right. Andrew, you were already sworn in. You're a New Jersey licensed architect.
Yes.
And you're familiar with this application, the design. All right. Why don't you walk the board through what's being proposed?
So the entire building is lifted to accommodate parking underneath. The parking is all up on New York Avenue, so the entire ground level is parking and storage. A modest foyer and access to the elevator. There is the entrance off of Ventnor Avenue where we added a deck over and to increase that entrance off of Ventnor Avenue to the architectural hall. Ground level again, the foyer and the lock. Elevator is considered up. The level of off of the lock is all, it has a kitchen, dining, living space that runs the length of the structure. And then it has a modest study in the back. Again, no closet in that study, and there's a powder wall. That study could be a study, it could be a den, what have you. The next level above that, there are four bedrooms, three bathrooms, and a laundry room. And again, the elevator and the stair tower in the center of the structure. And then on the very top level, we have rooftop decks that only have access to them. There's a stair access. There's no elevator or anything along those lines that get up to the rooftop deck that's there. And that's basically the four levels. The exterior of the structure is fairly modern or contemporary.
It's a third floor deck, isn't it?
Modest heights for all the floors, pretty much an 8-foot garage, a 9-foot living space, and then 8 foot for the bedroom space. The height of the structure also should be noted that it's approximately a little under 35 feet.
Required to be inset.
So we're actually under a height as well.
Is there a variance for that? And your rooftop deck is on the in the front of the building, am
yes,
I correct in that? And that is on the third floor.
It's the roof. There's really not a third level. It's just an access up to the rooftop deck.
Now,
there's no third floor per se.
Well, My question is whether that qualifies as a deck on the third floor, as a third floor level deck, and does that require a variance? I'm going to ask, has anybody looked at that?
I kind of looked at it as a third floor, because you have to, you walk